for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, September the 2nd, 2000, Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Butch Taylor of Slaughter, Louisiana, is the speaker of the morning.
Glory to the Lamb.
Is this on? To those of you who haven't met George, Butch Taylor from Slaughter, Louisiana, why, we'll turn this renegade loose here this morning. Gotta watch him. He's can't tell what he's liable to do, but the Lord will reprimand him. Come on, Butch.
Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. Amen. Amen. Lord, you get the praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, you get the honor. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, I've been named Butch since I was a little bitty boy. Actually, you'd have to ask my wife. She'd say, "What's your husband's name?" And she'd have to think about it. But I've been carrying that handle for a long time, you know. And Brother John brought it up the other night. Didn't even know he knew what my real name was, but he did. And my name is William George Butch Taylor, Jr. That'll make you nervous to try to pronounce that. Hallelujah. Y'all ever get nervous? I used to play football, and I'd be the last one on the field because I'd have to run to the bathroom. But, you know, it's not bad to be nervous like that because that's an awesome position. Do you know that I'm the same way today? When I used to play basketball, I had to get up off the bench and go to the bathroom because of nervousness. But that's good. But, you know, I'm the same way today even when I minister because it's an awesome position to be placed in this position to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. And, you know, when you become a prophet, it's a little bit different. As a prophet, and I like what our brother said last night about a prophet has to be 100% true. Amen. Not 15, not 5, and not what. But so when I come to church, I'm prepared to preach the word and to make sure I hear from God. Amen. So I bring tools with me. Is that all right? Amen. And if you come to church without the Bible, you don't even have the tools to listen properly. Amen. You know, and if you don't believe what the preacher's believing just because of your doctrine, it doesn't mean that you're right. Hallelujah. So I got a few tools today, and I like to put them on notes. But, you know, the Bible says if a man stands to prophesy to you and he prophesies in error, what you're supposed to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. These are just some things that just keep me straight. Now, brother, don't kill Chuck trying to hit me. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I can tell you from this point on, we're going to be in pretty good shape today. Amen? And that's about all I got to say. I believe I'll sit down. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I had a bottle of water in my briefcase that reminded me of like one of my kids. It leaked all in my briefcase. So today, I got an unsealed bottle of water here. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm just, I'm kind of fishing and trying out the waters. Brother, you're supposed to be fishing and trying out the waters. Amen? Hallelujah. Who's supposed to take this man fishing? You don't have to raise your hand and repent. Hallelujah. You're still going. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You got your Bibles today?
Amen.
Lift your Bible up. And when you lift your Bible up, the Bible talks about it in Isaiah 43 that you're making a wave offering before the Lord and you're reminding what the Lord has said to you. Amen? So, Father, we lift our word up to you today, and we thank you, Father, that we receive from your word, and your word is going to become alive, and your word is going to direct us, and your word is going to give us the destiny, what we're called to do. So we thank you for the word. Father, we thank you that it's going to be clear and audible and understandable in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, let's go one step further. Shake it at the devil. Amen. Don't get it up there. The devil's down there. Shake it at the devil. Amen. See, a lot of time we give the devil too much honor. Amen. Shake it at the devil. You know? Hallelujah. You know, the devil likes to talk to me, so what I do, I write him a note. And I say, devil, stay here. Is that all right? Well, glory. I'm glad we got a doctor of theology in the house today, because I'm going to do something that you're not supposed to do. Uh-oh. You know, and a lot of people do it all the time. They just don't realize they do it. They turn and they make that scripture to fit what they want it to fit. Amen? You can't do that. You can't do that. But I'm going to ask the doctor today if he will allow me to change a little of the scripture for this one time. Amen? Is that all right, doctor? Proceed with caution. All right. If you would, go with me into John, 1 John. That's in the New Testament. Little John. I'm excited about being here. I'm excited about what God's going to do. I'm excited what God is. You know, there's things happening. Glory. Hallelujah. We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Hallelujah. And I know somebody here today has already got a testimony, because God has already done something since they got here. Hallelujah. Amen. You got a testimony that God, a real short testimony that something God has done since you've been here at the campground.
Amen. Got to fellowship with three new brothers in Christ this morning, and I'm blessed.
Hallelujah. Someone else. Yes, sister. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God.
Heart condition, diabetes, high blood pressure, back ailment, nerve ailment, and I'm waiting on the Meniere's and the eye, because I know that it's depression.
Okay. Hallelujah. Man, don't that sound like David? I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Amen. Have I got y'all in Little John yet? If I've got you there, let's go to the fourth chapter. And I want to read you something as I read. And I want you to follow along closely, because this is where the church gets so messed up sometimes. They don't bring the Word of God to the house of God. And they don't watch what the preacher's reading, because very often that preacher can misread and you don't understand. And you believe exactly what the preacher says, and you'll deny what the Word of God says. Okay? Are you with me? It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit where they are of God, because many false prophets..." Got your rocks? Got your rocks. Okay. "Many false prophets are gone out into the world." Verse 2. "Hereby how you know the spirits of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." Verse 3. "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." Well, I see there's some new people never been here before. And I see there's some old people that's done forgot what I taught them before. You know, you missed a good chance to say amen. You know, hallelujah. You missed a good chance to say amen. Now, y'all don't know it, but there's an invisible camera back there, and we're on TV. And if I get my hands up this high, they'll realize that I'm trying to coach you. But if I keep them down this low, I'm trying to call you in to get a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So you agree with the scripture that I just read?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Working pretty good. Y'all learned faster than the last class. But I do know some of you are repeats. But I would like the opportunity for this time and this time only to change one word. And as we read, we're going to change this one word in these three verses that we read in this fourth chapter. And the Bible says, believe not every thought. Okay? So it says, believe not every thought, but try the thoughts, where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Howbeit knoweth ye that the thoughts of God, every thought that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is of God. Verse 3. And every thought that confesses now that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the thoughts of the Antichrist. How am I doing, brother? All right. Hide that rock. You know what? What does God think of us? What do we think of God? Do you realize that we call ourselves here dealing with spirits? But really, Brother Glenn, most of the time we're really dealing with thoughts. See, it's just a thought. It's just a thought. Do you realize the concrete that I'm walking on and the chairs that you're sitting on are physical? But at one day, it was only a thought. And thank God that God came and gave Brother Glenn and Sister Irma the thought of having a deliverance campground where we can come and be blessed. A little bit better than that. I'm preaching better than y'all amen and amen. Come on. So it's a thought. You know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, no need to go there, 5:21, it says, prove all things, hold fast to that is good. Prove it. Prove it. Prove your thoughts. Prove these spirits that are causing you problems, or prove these thoughts and these spirits that are driving you this way. We need to prove it, hallelujah. We need to know for sure, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. If you come here to Lake Hamilton this weekend and you don't have any direction and you don't have any destination to know where you're going, you have been here in vain. You have not come to prove your faults. You've not come here to get direction. You've not come here to get understanding. And the Bible says when you come to get something, at least get understanding. Hallelujah. We need to leave here. We need to go back and we need to say, hey, I was ministered. I understand what I need to do. I understand that I am called. I understand that I have a purpose. And I understand that God is going to judge me on my purpose. I think, I'm not real sure, but I might be preaching Sunday, and I want to preach on the purpose of man. Do you realize that after we're saved, God is not going to judge us on what we've done? God is going to judge us on the potential that He has given us of what to do, of what we can do, or what we should have done. Hallelujah. Glory. So what do we got to do? We got to prove these thoughts. Let's flip back in the Old Testament, if we would, into Isaiah chapter 55. Is anybody with me? Am I waking anybody up? Anybody sleepy? Next church I build, I'm not going to put any pews in it. We're going to all stand up. Amen? Hallelujah. I know where they got that word pew from. I was raised in one. I slept in one. I slobbered in one when I was a kid, and they was pewy smelling. Listen, got you in Isaiah 55. I want to read you something here. In verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Hey, He's here. We found Him. We've got Him cornered. Amen. And He says, and let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Y'all with me? He says, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy. Thank you, God. The church has not really come into the idea of really knowing what mercy is yet. We really don't know. I mean, we think that we might have mercy on somebody because we stopped at a red light and let them out of a parking lot and they've been sitting there for 15 minutes. We think that we've had mercy. We don't understand what mercy is. And he said he'll have mercy upon him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. I've been set free. Hallelujah. Not just had the cuffs taken off my hand and a rope tied on my ankle. I've been abundantly pardoned. And when I go to him, I say, Lord, I'm sorry that I sinned back in 1960. And he says, what sins are you talking about? Because you've been abundantly set free.
Amen.
Abundantly. Hallelujah. Brother John Nelson got in here the other night, and I didn't even know that he had remembered about the fellow that shot me. And I think I might have talked about that the last time I was here. You know, I was unsaved and he was unsaved, and all I did was going down the road. I pulled out a side street, pulled out in front of him, run him off the edge of the road, not into the ditch. He pulled me over and shot me. Went in here, came out there, went through my neck here, through my arm there, and through my windshield. Everything was repairable but my windshield. Amen. you know, and I thank God that it happened. Well, we might need to stone him now. Sound like a crazy man. Thank God. Because we don't know what's going to happen all out of these little bitty thoughts. Now, we went to court, and the judge says we have two lucky people here today. Lucky that you're not dead, and lucky that you're not going to Angola, the state prison, for the rest of your life. And I said, I'll show you. I'm going to go blow his brains out. If that's all we're going to get, just say we got two lucky people, you know. But thank God he saved me. Amen. Thank God he saved me. And you know, when we get saved, a lot of times our prayers are not as nice as they ought to be. I mean, we see that in families all the day. Lord, take care of my four and no more. Hello. Lord, how can you be graceful and grant their wishes and not take care of mine? Well, I'm going to make a long story short. The fellow told me, he said, if you ever harass me again, which I didn't harass him before, he said, I'll kill you. And I really believed he would, you know, because he just shot me for pulling out in front of him. And so he says, if you ever harass me again, I'll kill you. One night I was in a praise and worship service, and the Holy Ghost was just moving like you wouldn't believe. And guess who walked in the church? You guessed it. The fellow that shot me. And, man, I was up in the high praises of God. You know, there's some high praises of God, and they're just some praises of God. Amen? I mean, we've been in the high praises, but just the praises of God's them bumper stickers you put on your car. And so I came out of those high praises, and it says in Hebrews, it says, lay aside every weight that does so easily beset you. You know, we got weights in our life. As spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-chasing people, we got weights in our life. And I remember as coming out of a hot air balloon, and I remember coming back to the ground and could never get back up again. When God was saying, come up Heather, come up Heather, come up Heather. And I couldn't get up Heather. Or, for a better Louisiana term, higher. And so I started reading my Bible. And the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger or wrath. And it says, before the sun goes down, and you go to that person and you tell him you forgave him.
Yes.
Now, what reason did I have to forgive that fellow? He shot me. I did nothing wrong. I said, okay, Lord, because I want to get back higher again. Amen. So I called him up on the phone, and I said, Lord, I don't want to call him. I said, he said he's going to kill me. And I called him up on the phone, and I said, well, I'm going to call him at 12 o'clock because he's a salesman, and I know they're never at home at 12 o'clock. But I just wanted to do what God told me to do, you know. I said, I will call him. So I called him on the phone, and I dialed his number, and I was holding that phone, and the devil kept saying, hang up, hang up. And I told the Lord, I said, now, Lord, he's got to answer between the second and the third ring, otherwise I'm a gone pecan. And the devil saying, hang up, hang up, hang up. Have you ever registered the time between the second and third ring? It's about 3.5 hours. You can have a heart attack and be healed and back home by the time that third ring comes. But the devil kept saying, hang up, hang up. And then I heard a hello. And my old heart went, and it was a male's voice. And I said, I know you don't know who this is, but I said, don't hang up yet. I got something to tell you real quick. He said, I'm saved, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm praying God that he'll save you, and I love you in the Lord. And there was a long pause, and my whole shirt was doing this. That was before they had caller ID. He says, what? And I says, brother, this is Butch Taylor, and I've been praying for you. And he said, brother, I got saved yesterday. Hallelujah. The next time I saw him was about 2 years later, and I was in a little town way off out of Baton Rouge, about 35 miles, and he was in real estate, and he was dressed to kill, and he come walking down one side of the street, and I was on the other side of the street, and I was dirty. I mean, my right guard had been broke down for about 4 hours. I was in bad shape, stunk. And we saw each other. And so we run across the highway, standing out in Highway 10. It's the most traveled state highway in the state of Louisiana. Most dangerous highway to travel on. We're standing out there hugging. Hugging, you know. And so, and we greeted each other and left. Didn't hear from about a couple more years. And then one day I went to church. Well, I went to church often, but this is one day I went to church. And guess who came in the church, and the building wasn't as big as this auditorium here. And I went over and greeted him, hugged him. And, you know, even the Bible tells us about our loved one, our friends that we don't have to, we got to love them, but we don't have to fellowship with them. Amen? And so he sat on one side of the church and I sat on the other. And as soon as church was over, I took off to the back. And the pastor says, sent somebody back there and says, pastor wants to see you, Brother Butch. I said, oh, Lord, what have I done now? I mean, I'm going through your mind, you know. I think I've done everything right. I greeted all the sisters and, you know, and I picked up some paper in the parking lot and, you know, I hope it was. You know, my mind just running over. I didn't know what. So I went up there and I said, yeah, pastor. He said, this is Curry Roach, and I want you to take him in that back room and pray with him and receive the Holy Spirit. And so I said, come on, brother. I carried him into a room and prayed with him, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I thank God I got shot. I don't thank God for my ignorance, but I thank God that he turned a nasty, ugly situation into a beautiful situation. Amen? Has anybody ever shot you and you was able to pray with them into the baptism of the Holy Ghost? We might have some spirits that we need to be thinking about. We need to bring our thoughts into captivity. Bring our thoughts into captivity. You know, and that's what God wants us to do. Think about what's going on. He says in verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. You know what? God showed me that he allowed my ways to go down in the depths of hell on this earth and bring my ways into his thought and into his ways. Amen? And to bring somebody along with me. Because why? It's the way we think. Our thinking is thinking. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than yours. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from the heavens, and returneth not thither, but the water to the earth, and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word. Whose word? God's word. So shall God's word so shall my word shall go forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in everything whereto I send it.
Amen.
Every time God gives you a word, He also gives you what I call a CM or CNM. Well, what is that? That's the concept and the mechanics of the word He's given you. But see, often we only want the concept. We only want the idea. We only want what's happening. But we don't want to do the work. The concept and the mechanics. Pierre and Boudreaux, and they done left. They wanted to go bear hunting. And old Boo never been bear hunting before. So Boo, they got to the camp down in the Chaffalai Swamp. And Boo said, "Well, man, we're going to get up early in the morning and go bear hunting." "Yeah," he said, "well, I'm going to go in the, I'm going out in the woods, just kind of scout out a little bit." And he said, "I'll be back in a little bit." "Yeah." And he said, "Okay, go on out, just be careful." And he said, "Come on back in a little while." So he went out in the woods, and when he was out there, he run into a bear. He didn't think nothing about that bear because the bear wasn't about that tall. But when he raised up on all fours, he said, "Oh, my goodness, yeah." And he took off running, the bear right behind him. And he was hollering, "Open the door, Pierre. Pierre, open the door." Man, he's running that bear right on his tail, right behind him. And he runs up on the door. He said, up on the porch, says, "Pierre, open the door." He runs up there knocking on the door. "Open the door." And he looks behind that bear right behind him. And just as he opened the door, he steps aside. The bear runs in. He said, "You skin that one, I'll go get you a nun, bro." The Boo, he had the concept, but he didn't have the mechanics. I mean, he knew what he wanted to do, but didn't know how to do it when he got there. I mean, when we leave here, we got to have more than just the concept. We got to get back and do the mechanics of what God has shown us.
Yes.
See, it's all right to think these thoughts, but what are you going to do with these thoughts? Are y'all with me? Look what he says in verse 11. He says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I have pleased, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Look at your hand. I know you're talking in the mirror, so don't feel bad about talking to your hand. Say, "Hand, you're the vessel that God has given me to fulfill the purpose that God is showing me. So you're going to prosper in everything you do. In Jesus' name." Amen.
Amen.
I didn't tell you to stop looking at your hand. Now make a pistol out of it. Say, and look at the ground and say, "Devil,
devil,
you understand that?
You understand that?"
You know what happened? See, we didn't have the power that the brother was talking about last night. We need to turn that power up. Hallelujah. Quit shooting with blanks. Quit shooting with blanks. They just put a fellow in prison for 99 years in Louisiana for holding up a grocery store with a plastic pistol. And that's just like some of us Christians. We're in prison because we're using plastic pistols and plastic armor and not using a real thing. Not realizing God can prosper us and we can do what He calls us to do. Hallelujah. Where's your vision? Excuse me. Where's your vision? What's God telling you? God told me I'm going to get an airplane. I got a vision of it. See my airplane?
All right.
Mm-hmm. I ain't going to let them look too long. They might steal my vision and it'll become a division. Hallelujah. See, the Bible says, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Hallelujah. And too many times we cast our pearls before the swine, and we cast our pearls before our swine, and then our division becomes a division because we're listening to something that we should not listen to, because that listening came in a thought, and we received that thought, and we're controlled by that thought, and that thought was not of God, because that was a spirit that came from hell, and we're right back where we started from, and we're not prospering the way God wants us to prosper. You believe with me? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the airplane. As my brother agreed with me, that we're going to fly for your purpose, not for something that I want to do. It's going to be your goal, and it is done in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. I'll pass you out a bank deposit slip after a while. Are you? Yeah? Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Come on, let's fly around this place, brother. I mean, let's put this thing, put on some, put the rudders on and just ease around. Amen. We've all got aviation mentality. What is aviation mentality? Spiritual aviation mentality is when God says, "Lo, I'll be with you always." Hey, God wants to take you to some higher places. No, no, I'm going to be with you always. Hey, God can go with you anywhere. Hallelujah. We just need to get up and go. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, ba-ba-ba, ha-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Is-a-ka-ta-ta-ta-ta. Excuse me. Yeah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oopa ta ta ta. Okay. Well, glory. We can't land here. I got to go to another airport. All my notes up to this point now, they're null and void. Hallelujah. This sister in the, it's a black and white dress on the left. Yes, ma'am, you. Will you stand up? I see a great anointing upon you, and you've not known how to do what God's called you to do. In the back of your head, there's been a little bitty voice that's saying, "Come on, I've got this to do, and I've got this to do, and I've got this to do." And what it is, you've struggled with spirits in the thought realm. And God says, "But today, I counsel those spirits out, because now I'm bringing that spirit realm and that thought realm out of your realm into my realm, and we're going to see the things that I have called you to do to come to into fruition." And he says, "Now, stand and see." Run back there, brother. Stand behind her. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ho-ta-ta-ta. Now, just take and just knock the strings and the fetters and the chains off of her, and hallelujah. Look at her. Look, she's getting deliverance right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, papa, ha, ta, ta, ta. Glory, 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 glory. Brother, you have a word for her?
Just that the Lord is saying that He sees your heart, and He's heard your cries, and there's been many of those cries, and no, none of them have gone unnoticed. None of those have gone unreceived. That today is the day of your salvation. Today is the first day that you're going to be able to see and walk in the changes that you've been praying for. And Lord's got the anointing here to do it with.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What's your name, sister?
Judy.
Judy. Hallelujah. Bless her, Lord. Glory. Come on back up here, wait. This sister, the dancer. Stand up, please. Wait, go stand behind her, please. You know what I heard the Lord speak to? What's your name, sister? Debbie? Sister Deb, you know what I heard the Lord say when He said, "Look over there and find Twinkle Toes." And he says, "You bless me, saith the Lord." And he says, "Because of your blessings," he said, "I'm going to take you into a new degree. You've already got the concept," says the Lord. He says, "But now the mechanics are fixing to become prevalent and start working in you. And even as the spirit of nervousness would come against you," saith the Lord, he said, "it's going to be released today." He says, "You're going back in a new love, a new understanding, and a new flow." He says, "Because you're going to flow in my worship, in my praise. And you will," saith the Lord, "bring others." And you will, saith the Lord. And he says, "I'll bring you to the point of making a teacher out of you. Not just from your heart, but from what I have placed inside of you." He says, "Because you are taking my thoughts and putting my thoughts into drama, into action." He says, "I am pleased with you, saith the Lord."
Over here, I saw you standing in the back corner of the room and dancing with your trailer or whatever you had there. And the Lord said that your dance is for Him and for Him alone, just as we must worship Him in spirit and truth. There are many people that have not learned how to enter into that place that Butch talked about earlier, the higher praise, the worship, the secret place, getting out in the realms of glory of God. But the Lord said your dance is for Him and Him alone, and you don't do that to receive attention or praise, regardless of what people might think or might say, that your heart is completely His, and He knows you're ministering to Him. He appreciates that. And He's going to bring you into a higher realm into that. That there's going to be an anointing that's going to begin to build, and you're actually going to be able to feel. And you may be feeling some of that already, but a tangible anointing and a tangible presence of the Lord come on you as you worship, and that intimacy is going to grow deeper and stronger.
Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Brother, I've seen you before, but I can't call your name. What's your name?
Spencer.
Spencer? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Spencer, what I see is encapsulation from self. See, you've encapsulated yourself, and you put your perimeters out. And God's saying, "I want you to strengthen your tent states. I want you to tear down fences. I want you to start moving out, moving forward." He says, "Because the things that I have taught you in the past have almost become null and void in your mind, spirit, and emotions." And he says, "You need to stir it." And he says, "You need to stir it, because when you start stirring and exercising," saith God, he says, "then will I open you up and open up your mouth and open up your mind." And he says that I'll give you those thoughts and those things within the hour to do the things that I've called to do. So come out from behind them. Quit hiding. Go forward, because you're my vessel that I have called to do. And I see it's a promotion, but we always think a promotion is going up. But this promotion is going to be lateral. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a promotion. A lot of people won't see it as promotion, and he said, but you're going to get monetary values from it because of the promotion, not from the promotion. You understand that? Okay. And so God says, but you're the one that I call to be. Quit complaining. Because the Bible says these are evil thoughts as I see them. These are not godly thoughts. They're evil thoughts. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. And he says, but you came here today to be delivered by the Spirit of a living God.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time the word encapsulation came, I saw, like, and I believe they have the same meaning, as almost like a self-imposed isolation, that I saw that you had set a out in front of you like a fence or something, and you're just kind of keeping your distance from some situations. And the Lord is bringing you out of that, and He's tearing down the wall, but He also wants you to speak to that fence and speak to that wall. And in Jesus' name, we tear that down and we break that down. And that will no longer be a hindrance to me in my relationships with people, especially in the ministry and in your ability to minister and develop relationships.
That's it.
In ministry.
That's good. And that's exactly what I saw. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Feel like me and him riding on the same motorcycle. Amen. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me get some of this water here. This is my water, too. Oh, glory. I've learned something. When you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Yep. Proverbs 23:7. So is a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think about yourself, you are. Now the Cajuns have an accent. Not an accent, but they have a little deal they like to say. And you ever seen somebody, I mean, they just think themselves, they're really something. So the Cajuns have what they'll say, and I never knew this until I went married my wife, but she says, he think himself. He think himself. And you know what? A lot of us think ourselves. And we think ourselves right into a corner. We think ourselves how bad we are. We think ourselves. I tell you what, if I would stand before you and tell you where I've been and what I've done before the blood of Jesus, y'all would say, Brother Glenn, you have made a mistake bringing in such a heathen to minister to these people. That's when I thinketh myself. He think himself. But see, I don't think of those things that I can't do anymore. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? There's another one in Proverbs. It's right next door to that one, brother. It's Proverbs 24:9. It says, The thoughts of the foolishness is sin. You sitting around foolishly thinking, that's sin. That's sin. That's sin. Was it all right when I said, let's just take this one word and change it from spirits to thought? Because you realize there's times in our thought train, we'll allow the spirit to bring our thought train into foolishness, which is sin. Are y'all with me? What God wants to do, He wants us to deliver us from our evil thoughts. I love what it says here in Proverbs. And does anybody have a New International Bible? I've got my computer, but I don't have my Bible. Good. Look up Jeremiah 29:11. I like this. Amen. Y'all getting anything out of this?
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you're not, I'm getting nervous. You got it, brother? I think it's 29:11. Thank you, sir. Listen to what he says. Now, this is God speaking. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He said, I know the plans that I have for you, Sister Mary, declares the Lord. Listen to this. And he goes on to say, and I have the plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope.
Amen.
I like this. Plans to give you hope and a future. Do you know what? There's people sitting in this room, and I'm not going to ask you to hold your hand up. Sister Diane, am I going to be ministering deliverance this afternoon? Was that? Or, yeah, okay. I believe there's going to be some people that are going to be in the deliverance that I'm in this afternoon, and I'm going to be teaching in there, that they have lost hope. And so they're snared by the words of their mouth. And then when you lose hope, you don't have any future, and then you become suicidal. Is anybody, don't raise your hands, because you're too pretty to say, I have had suicidal thoughts. But God says, I have plans to prosper you. I've got plans. Turn to somebody and say, God's got a plan for me. Amen. Glory! God's got a plan for you. Hallelujah. Glory! Hallelujah! Woo. 10 years from now, when I'm 70 years old, I'm going to still be hollering, God's got a plan for me. Glory! Hallelujah! Glory! Amen. Well, glory. See, I'm going to follow your plan, and I'm going to get, in 10 years, when you're 80, I'll be 70, and I'm going to say, God's got a plan for me. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. I don't know. I ain't that good in math yet. God's got a plan for us. Amen. Do you know what God wants us to do? How many's got computers? Do you know that when you buy a computer, that computer is a worthless piece of equipment when you pull it out of the box? Worthless. And that computer will not do anything that you want it to do until you start putting some software in it. And our mind is just like that Bible, or just like that computer. Until we start putting some software in it, we're not going to do anything. And if you don't put something in that computer, you ain't going to get nothing out. Excuse me, Sister Mary. Now, she'll give me an English lecture this afternoon. Amen? So I know what we're going to have. We're going to have roasted preacher and beef stew. But if we don't put something in, we're not going to get nothing out. See, and if we don't put something in us, we're not going to get nothing out. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, you have been such a blessing to have seen you at this campground, but you have put something in you, and God's going to start calling it out. Hallelujah. He's not calling it out right now, because right now He is still doing the work down on the inside of you, but it's going to come out, saith the Lord. It's going to come forth, saith the Lord. He says, because you're my called out one. You're my separated one. He says, and I've got a calling upon you, and it shall last, and it shall bring forth what I've called it to do. And it will prosper, saith the God, saith the Lord of heaven. And He said, I'll show you how you'll flow in me, saith the Lord. And He said, I'll bring you back in the appointed time where you knew that you had to go. He said, but don't go before me. Wait on me, saith the Lord, and let me fill you to the brim. And when you come to the full of the brim, then I'll spill over, saith God. Then I'll minister to you. He said, allow me to minister through you, saith the Lord. Oh, ba 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 ba. He ta 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 ta. Glory. He ta ta ta. He sa ka ta 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 ta. You got a little, but you're gonna get a lot more.
Hallelujah.
You're gonna get a lot more. You're gonna be getting things this weekend you've never even knew, said the Lord. And He says, but I'm going to be doing a work down on the inside of you. And He says, then later on you'll say, now I understand. Now I understand what you've been talking about, saith the Lord. You got a little, but you're getting more. Hallelujah. Opa ta ta ta. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Go to Romans with me. Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Then He says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't have your thinking in this world. You know, if you got your thinking in this world, you're like a Cajun. He think himself. He says, let me see if I can find my place here. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. Prove. Everybody say prove.
Prove.
You know, that's what it's saying, that God wants us to prove His Word. Amen. He wants to prove you. Hallelujah. How many of y'all ever flown in an airplane? Would you like to go fly in an airplane that's never been proved? Well, God's the same way. He don't want to put something into you until He knows it's been proved. This Word's been proven. Amen? He said, prove me now. So He says, and prove, if I can find my place, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Boy, I said, I got a message that I preach. It's the will of God. Because you know there's two wills of God? And we got a lot of people in here today Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope he ain't talking about me. Because we got a lot of people in here today is in the permissive will.
Amen. Amen.
Permissive will, but not the perfect will. Dr. Chuck, my hardest struggle as a man of God is between the permissive and the perfect. I can be preaching, in the which is the perfect will of God, but only be in the permissive will of God, because if I'm preaching here in Hot Springs and I'm supposed to be preaching in Las Vegas,
Amen.
I'm doing what God wants me to do, but it's not perfectly what God wants us to do. So he says, prove. Amen. Where's Doc at today? Resting? I'm going to fill up his classroom this afternoon with what I'm going to preach this morning. Amen. He'll love me for it. So listen to what he says, the perfect will. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself. It's almost Cajun written. Don't think yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't think yourself. Now all you need to do is get you a cup of community coffee, and you'll be doing all right. We'll bring the crawfish next trip. Crawdad. All right. Hallelujah. He says, and not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man. And you know what? I don't like to change up the scripture, but in my translation, I have injected here where it says, every man, the measure of faith, I put every man in Christ. Every man in Christ. Oh, he's in Christ. He's doing what? No, if he's not a believer, he's not in Christ. I mean, let me tell you something. There's only one way to get to God, and that's through Jesus. And if you try to go any other way, you're not in Christ. So he says here, he says to deliver to every man in Christ. Brother Chuck gave you permission to write in your Bible last night. I give you permission to write in Christ in yours today. Amen? In Christ, the measure of faith. We were talking about last night at the restaurant after church was out. But how do we prophesy with the measure of faith that we have? Brother, you didn't hit me correctly. Well, I got you. I gave everything I got. You know, that's the measure I got. I ain't got nothing else. If I give you something else, guess what? I am under the rock, and the rock is higher than me. Amen? I don't want the rock to be a part of me that way.
Amen.
But he is a part of me, huh? I can't understand why you ain't got up and preached. Come help me. Come on, help me. Glory, y'all ever heard her preach before? Amen. Let's give her about 10 minutes. Is that all right?
What is it that you say? You're saying well enough. So I don't have nothing to say because you're saying it.
Well, hallelujah.
You stay on. And minister on. Every one of these people needs encouragement. Don't stop with just two or three of them. But go to all of them.
Isn't she a blessing? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know if you were to take time to talk to my sister, do you know that one thing that she would tell you? She'd tell you, I want you to prosper. And I want you to do well. As you're getting that word down on you, she says, I want you to be able to prosper and be in the Word of God and to do His will. Amen. And encouragement. Oh, encouragement. Man, I tell you what, I look so forward to seeing her. And I remember the first time I ever saw her and met her was at down at Jack Harris's. Remember that? Man, boy, I mean, dynamite. Hallelujah. When you get around her, something's fixing to happen. She's got a short fuse. She's liable to go off any time. You know what you got to do with dynamite? You got to keep it in a good, dry, cool place. Boy, you know that Christians, you know, they'll give you a piece of their mind for almost anything. They ain't got enough to give out, they'll still give you a piece. Because they're operating in the realm of their thought, not the spirit. Because anything that you're going to get from God is going to first become a thought. You know, I'm tired of these preachers coming into the church that's been studying for 30 hours to preach a 30-minute message. You know what happens? They go over to people's head because they ain't been in the Bible 30 minutes that week. You ever gone home from church and, man, I ain't getting nothing out of what he said? No, because you're not. Your thought train is it's the way you think. The way you think. You know, the church themselves need to come and get them a bookshelf in their spirit. Because I've probably said some things that some of you don't believe. Put it on that bookshelf. One day you'll be able to take it off. One day you can put it into your spirit and have a measure of faith in Christ. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to admit it. Have I ever made mistakes in the pulpit? Sure I have. You ever made a mistake in your life, in your ministry? Sure you have. I love to teach the prophetic. Teach people to prophesy. But you know why? What you got to do, you got to teach people, you got to start in the flesh, but you got better move to the spirit.
Amen.
Now, when you get through with the spirit, you don't move back to the flesh. You stop. And see, that's where we find our false prophets. They don't stop. They stay in the flesh. They go back to the flesh. I'd rather hear three spiritual words than 10,000 fleshly words. Hallelujah. Brother Bruce, get up here. Up here. Pronto. I'm going to scold you. You're sitting in the wrong place. God said, I've been trying to heat you up. You're sitting at the back of the fire, not in the front of the fire. And see, it was only a concept, but you need to come to the front because that's the mechanic. See, God says, I'm wanting to pour some glory out on you. And all these hungry people grab it before you can get it. And all you're doing is getting banana peelings. Okay? And when you do get the banana peelings, they're already bruised. Come to the front, saith the Lord. Come to the front and be served, saith the Lord. Come to the front and I'm going to teach you to serve, saith the Lord. Come to the front. Come forth. Come up. Come up. As cream cometh to the top of milk, I'm bringing you forth as cream, saith the Lord. Allow this cream to work through you. Allow this spirit to work through you, saith the Lord, cometh to the front. Brother, you got anything? That must be buttermilk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebatatatatatata. Yeah, come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. I like the front row. Like to spit on them. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. I like it where the spout pours it out. Amen.
Amen.
Come here, Dan. Dan, this is what I mom's a little longer than yours. This is what I see. I see there's another hooking. And there's a state law in Louisiana says that you have to have a certain pound or poundage hitch on your vehicle to pull a trailer. Okay? So we're hooked. But also the law says, for safety purpose, you have to put on a safety chain. Okay?
Amen.
All right. And so God says, I've been walking with you. And he says, but now we've just been running around the block, saith the Lord. And we've not put that safety chain on because we really wasn't going any great distance. And he says, but now I'm getting ready to go on the highway.
Amen.
I'm getting ready to stretch out. I'm getting ready to do a change, saith the Lord. And he says, check our tires. Kick them. Check them. Look at them. And he says, because that the speed we traveled in a subdivision will not be the speed we travel on the interstate.
Praise your Lord.
He says, because I've got a work, I've got a call, I've got a work for you to do. And think it not strange that you start seeing yourself stretched on the weekend. He says, because I'm going to start stretching, pulling, moving. He says, because it's only been a concept, but now the mechanics are beginning to start. He says, because I'm going to move you into the mechanical area of the Spirit, and I'm going to feed you with the concept of the Spirit. Think it not strange, the thoughts you've thought. Think it not strange, the thoughts that you couldn't even convey to certain ones that you really would have loved to because they were so close in blood, close in love. He says, but think it not strange that we only had this conversation, saith the Lord. He says, now, we're hooked up, we're ready to go. And he says, we're on the road, saith
praise
the Lord.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, ba 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 ate de ate. Oh, ta 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 ta. E ta 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 ta. Cassandra, you can stay right there. But in my spirit, and all I can, as a seer in a spirit, you remind me of my grandson. He's 2 years old, and we've been in a drought in Louisiana. And my daughter carried my grandson out a month or so ago, 5 weeks ago, and he was 2 years old. And she carried him out on the front porch and says, look, rain. And he looks up in the rain and never seen rain before, 2 years old. We've been in a drought. You know, it hit rain when he was 1 year old, but he didn't. And it was rain. And so she takes off his shirt and she lets him go out and play in the rain. And this is what I see the Holy Spirit with doing with you, Cassandra. See, it's beginning to rain. See? And so what God's saying, I'm going to wash you. I'm going to start at your head and I'm going to come down through your body. I'm going to wash you inside, I'm going to wash you outside, saith the Lord. And he said, you just allow me to wash you. He says, because I bathe like no other one can bathe. He says, my water is warmth, my water is cleansing, my water is strength, my water is refreshing, saith the Lord. Now allow me to be that refreshing source unto you, saith the Lord. Open up. And he says, open up your mouth. And he said, I'll fill your mouth, saith the Lord, within that hour. He says, because I have called you. I have called you. Think it not strange, the evil thoughts that have come to your mind. I knew they were there, saith the Lord. But it was not my job to rebuke them, saith the Lord. It was your job. So think it not strange that you've struggled at night times by yourself. Think it not strange you've laid in your bed and cried where no one else would hear you. But he says, but I've called you. I've seen it. I've heard. He says, it's beginning to rain. It's beginning to rain, saith the Lord. Allow him to rain on you, saith the Lord. My little grandson, we've been having a good bit of rain in Baton Rouge here lately, and I thank God for it. Not enough, but we've been having rain. And so now every time it rains, he takes off his shirt and goes outside. My wife pulled up in the driveway the other day, and my little grandson, 2 years old, is out there playing in the rain. And she says, what's he doing in the rain? And she said, Mama, I showed him the rain 3 weeks ago, and I can't get him out. He thinks he's supposed to take his shirt off and play in it. Amen? We are. It's beginning to rain.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Butch, I didn't really have the words for
when you were talking to Dan,
Daniel.
What I first saw was like butt down the hatch and saw like an astronaut crawling in this little deal and tightening the thing up over him. And then I saw as he was talking about this chain, I was going, Lord, what does that mean? And I saw one of those rides like at a carnival or something where you put on your seatbelt, but then you have this metal thing that you have to pull down. You know, and really you wouldn't feel very good about the seatbelt if the metal thing wasn't there, right, extra security. And it's like the Lord said, I saw you like just putting your toe in the water. And you didn't really want to wade out too far, and you didn't want to jump in. And the Lord said, because of your nature, that's the way it's been. And it's been kind of slow and gentle and gradual, but he's fixing to turn that up. And I think that's related even to that safety chain you were talking about. And you're going to kind of feel like he's really yanking you into something, or you're going to kind of swing out one way, and you're going to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. But the Lord's saying, you know, I've got control over that. It's in my hand. I am that safety net that's around you, and I have control over that. So you're going to catch yourself thinking, maybe I shouldn't run out into that, or that may be a little too deep, or that may be a little too spiritual, you know, super spiritual or something. But it's going to be the Lord training you in some areas that he wants to lead you into a little faster than you've been willing to go in the past. And his hand of safety is going to be on you and around you, and he's going to be the guide. He's going to be the one taking you into those things. And you know, at times you may forget this word, but you'll be in the middle of this later, and he'll take you back to this picture. You're looking at us right now and what Butch said and what I'm saying, and you'll go, oh, okay, well, I have peace about this then. I just had a scripture come to me, and I hope it's appropriate to this. I was thinking it was a psalm. It's something the Lord brought to me last night, and I hadn't seen it in a long time. And I got saved in a Southern Baptist church, was pretty active in that, but the Lord had put a real hunger in my heart to get out, because I was reading stuff in here, and they were saying, you know, no, you can't do that. That doesn't happen anymore. That power is not available. It's just the Word. Don't be thinking about experience. Don't be thinking about anointing. You know, things that are all in the Bible. I mean, all these people, all these great prophets of old and even the New Testament, every time you met Jesus or you come into his presence, it was an experience. And when I was reaching out into that, I had a fear. That's what all this is about. And the Lord gave me a scripture, and it's Psalms 43, verse 3. And it says, oh, send out thy light. And this was a prayer he told me to pray to him, and it gave me comfort. Thy light, Lord, and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy dwelling place. And the key word here is thine, you know, and the He's going to say, this is me, you know, yes, you're scared, maybe you haven't seen this before, maybe you haven't walked in that, but that is me, you know, and the key word is thy, you know, amen. God, just what belongs to you that you want me to have, that and that alone, and I rebuke everything else and bind everything else, and he's going to give you that comfort, and that is his, a part of that safety net that, and the safety chain that Butch was talking about. And I really feel like, Butch, that we're supposed to pray for this man. You know, there was just Bruce.
Yeah, come on, Bruce.
I mean, to lay hands on him.
Okay.
And
did you want to say something?
This is for all of you. But I said, take the dust out of your eyes and shake the dust off the seat of your pants and off of the coat that you're clothed with. We're not that dust man. We're the children of the Most High God.
Amen.
Kingdom of kings and priests unto God. And as long as you've got that dust in your eyes and dust in your mind, you can't be that. You're all time thinking how unworthy I am, how poor I am, what a dirty man I am. You quit that. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you begin to see you're the new creation. You're a man of God, and you belong to God, and you need to get yourself tuned up and in line with the Holy Ghost and not the what's in the past. That's over. That's gone. It'll never come back anymore. You can't recall one day of that. But you can go on into the glory of God through all the ages to come. Yeah. In understanding and in wisdom. Woo. To know all things that God has given his people. There's
Amen.
Nothing. He has withheld from his children. But we put ourselves in a bondage. We put ourselves in a dust realm. We cover ourselves with a dust coat. We are clothed with the life of the Lord. Charity. Of Jesus Christ, the God Almighty. We're not a dust man.
Come on.
Amen.
I tried to tell y'all what this meant. And we almost got her anointed. The the Holy Ghost started it many years ago. It wasn't me. It's just the Holy Ghost just let it flow. And the Holy Ghost said it's going to continue to flow. And the Holy Ghost says, because you flowing through me, you'll see many years of flow, says the Ghost. And he says, you'll go many places, says the flow. He says, because you're in the flow of the Holy Ghost and you stay in the flow of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to carry you some new places, says the Lord. I'm going to show you new roads, saith the Lord, and be not of fear that you can go, because you're in the Holy Ghost and you're in the Holy Ghost flow, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Come on, brother. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, glory, glory, glory.
Man. Something can happen.
The Lord took me back. Bruce, Butch and I were in a meeting, and I think it was in Connecticut, and something, we were at a table together.
Ohio.
And something came up and was driving me crazy in my what I call my spirit man, this area down here, you know. And I had to leave the table and go up to the room and was just pacing, going, Lord, what is going on? But it was real intense. And I came back, and just enough I could sit down, I came back and I sat down and I said, Lord, what is it? And he said, this is for Butch, you know, and I was a guest there. But anyway, we got to pray together later, and at that time it was the Lord said, this is the fire. I want you to pray that the fire come down and touch Butch, the fire of God come down and touch Butch. And it's a symbol of that, but I just saw I was praying for you, so I have to step out.
Go ahead, step out, brother. Man, I ask you to help me. Come on. Ooh, thank you, Father. We just lift up Bruce, and Father, we just bless Bruce right now with a word, with a prayer. Father, just come and minister to Bruce. I agree.
Lord, I just thank you for the impartation. I don't know what it is, but I know your tangible anointing, Lord Jesus. And I thank you that it's flowing into your brother, my brother, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that he feel it. Lord, that he does know that he can experience you. Lord, I ask that you stir that fire up within his bosom. That light, that flame that's flowing in him, Lord, that you turn that light up, Lord, and begin to release it, that it would burn even the flesh nature that he may not even know he has, that it begin to consume that, Lord Jesus. That we just break that river loose in Jesus' name, and we pray it would flow throughout him, rivers of living water. Take that little stream, Lord, and just twirl it and expand it, and Lord, distill it, whatever has to be done in the spirit realm. To purify his body, Lord, and begin to prepare him in a greater way, in a greater measure, in a greater level, so that he may minister, Lord, both to receive to you and to be a vessel through which he can flow. Jesus, we just speak the anointing in his life, in his body, and in his spirit, Lord Jesus, and we release that river.
Thank you for restitution.
Yes.
Totally. Father, for restoring what the canker worm has stole from our brother. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord give you some. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. That's good. Yes? Come.
Brother Chuck.
Oh, Chuck. Okay, Brother Chuck.
The Lord started speaking this to me last night. And he said, know that it's not by accident that you have the stature of Samson. Because the anointing that has been placed within you has been a call to be a breaker. You have had to run ahead many years. You've been out there forging ahead. And there have been many times that things have happened and other people have gotten accredited for doing these things. And you said, Lord, you showed me that. I spoke it forth. I was faithful. And yet you've gone on. And yet you have accepted this and have learned to walk in this. But the Lord says he has seen. And he has seen your obedience. He has known that you would be faithful. And that is the reason that he entrusted the call
yes.
that he's put on your life. And this morning, the word that he's given me is Psalm 18, verse 20 through 24. He says, the Lord rewarded, and I'm going to put you, Brother Flynn, according to your righteousness, according to the cleanness of your hands, he has recompensed you. For you have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from your God. For all his judgments were before you, and you did not put away his statutes. Verses 20 through 24. You were also blameless before him, and you kept yourself from your iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed you according to your righteousness, according to the cleanness of your hands in his sight. And that's the word he gave me for you this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Do you remember this morning you and I were talking with regards to having a, and this was for Bruce, because when you were talking about this to me this morning about where someone told you, you do good at what you were doing, but you won't make it.
Yes.
And I see the same thing with Bruce. You are able to do more than one thing at a time. And this isn't just for Bruce. This is for every one of us here. You know, when you think you can only do one thing at a time, ask a mom how many things she has to do at one time. Okay, no, think about this. And when you were telling me that this morning, when you had brought Bruce up to pray with him, that was the very first thing the Lord showed me. You are able to do more than one thing at a time. And you have to get to the point, as Mildred just said, don't miss what she just said. It's time. You have been called out for a purpose, Bruce. And you can't sit on your hands. We have a lot. The Lord has got a lot that he's embodied in you. But you have to bring it out. He's already put it there. And we cannot afford in this day and age to sit on what you have that the Lord's embodied in each one of us.
Amen.
You're here for a purpose. Whether it is now to be delivered or to reach out to other people that need deliverance. Don't sit on your hands. Don't sit in your seats. Dust off. This week I had dust in my eyes. I almost went to the hospital because it was so intense. But I bought an eye wash kit. And as I was sitting here, as you said that, we have to clean our eyes. We have to get, you know, when you told us to look at our hand, there's a reason behind looking at your hand. You look at yourself in the mirror, look at your hands, look at everything that the Lord has given you. Each one of us, he's given you these things for a purpose. And it isn't for you to gloat over. It's to reach out to that person that's hurting.
Amen. Good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody in their mind, they're thinking right now, why is he letting all these people interrupt? Because the Bible says that that is my calling. It said God calls them apostles, pastors, teachers, prophets to teach the saints to do the work of the ministry. To teach the saints to do the work of the ministry. Amen?
Years ago, the Lord gave me this vision of the bride without spot or wrinkle. The bride will have a pastor or a shepherd, and he will get up and give a verse. And a verse will come from here, 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 and a verse will come from here. It's the Holy Spirit building the lesson and building the teaching. Totally, because it's coming from all parts of the body. It's not the vision of one man, which he's been doing for thousands of years.
That's right, brother.
But it's going to come from each part.
That's right. That's
each
good.
Part will be equipped to give that section of that word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. It's, I can't even fathom what it's going to be like, but it's going to be beautiful.
That's good, brother. Amen. Sister, wait just a second. If I look on you, in the spirit, as I see, you got a billboard around you, a rope around your neck with a billboard on it, and it says, "I'm a new life application," and you're walking in new life, and you're the application of new life, and he says, "I want you to fulfill it." Say that you are, and let everybody know, because he's doing it. Amen.
I just believe that the Lord said a while ago that he gave you something, and I don't know if it's something for us or if it's something that he wants you to step out in and just mention as like a step into the, you know, the to whatever he's trying to get you off your feet and to shake the dust off and kind of step out. But did the Lord impart something to you that you feel like you should say or do or show you something? Or
A while ago, Dad had eaten breakfast, and, you know, don't you do it, but he eat out here. And so I picked the paper up, the styrofoam and stuff, and he had this banana peel in there, and I thought, how yucky. You know, and I took the thing back. Usually that stuff doesn't bother me, and I took it back and threw it away, you know, and the silverware. But the thing about the banana peel and that he brought out in prophecy, the reality is that, you know, we are all caught up in some kind of yuckiness that, you know, we need to just shake that loose and go on in what God wants us to do. And it's not a condemnation type of thing. You know, it's the, well, yeah, you made a mistake. Let's go on. And so don't anybody feel like that they can't make it because they've made a mistake. Because as long as you're breathing, you're going to make a mistake. But let's just go on with God, you know. Let's just go on.
Hallelujah. Glory. These three blacks, will y'all please come forward? All of you. Hallelujah. Your name, sir?
Robert.
Robert?
Yes.
Okay.
Joycelyn?
Joycelyn?
Yes, sir.
Olu.
Do it again?
Olu.
Olin.
Olu.
Okay. Olu. What I see the Lord saying, are you a family?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is this your eldest son? Okay. What I just see the Lord saying, you're one of a kind. And where I send you is to places that nobody's ever seen like you. He says, because my spirit is in you. And he says, you won't return the way you came. You won't go back the same way you came. And he says, think it's not strange that every time I send you, saith the Lord, that you'll always make a circle, never crossing the same road twice. He says, because you're one of a kind. You're one of a kind. And I see that God, what he's doing in you right at this time, he's forming a mouthpiece. You'll speak to kings, you'll speak to nations, you'll speak to world leaders. He says, because you're going to be a prophet, said the Lord. And you're going to be a prophet that's going to carry forth the truth to set them free. And he says, Olin, there's been times that you've thought some evil thoughts and you wouldn't like to be where you don't like to be where you've been called to be. He says, but this is what my appointed upon you. And he says, those evil thoughts can be cast off. Those evil thoughts can be laid aside. And he says, because you're marked. You was marked in your mother's womb. And he says, you was marked at the day you was born. And you even know that you're marked. And he says, now think it not strange for the type of studies I'm fixing to take you to, saith the Lord. He says, because I'm going to take you to a newer degree, to a newer depth. He says, I'm going to minister to you in a special way. And he says, and you will see many nations. You will see many places, saith the Lord, because you will be my mouthpiece for the future. He says, now, the Lord says, I want to pass a mantle on to you of the prophetic. And he says, I want you to be ministered to, saith the Lord, in a special way. Brother Chuck, will you come minister with me? Maybe you might need a help up there. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Brother Chuck, as I look in this young man's face and I look into his eyes, it's you've seen how they take a globe and they cut it in two and they separate and put the two sides. And I look into his eyes, his two eyes look like globes.
Because thy ways, the Lord will go before you, and I have ordered thy steps aright. So I'm lifting up your confidence, and the things that would have tried to discourage and be like a squirrel in a cage, the same old, same old. But the Lord has a fresh revelation of glory and attitude within you. Lift up your eyes, for I am the author and the finisher of your faith. For this anointing and this glory shall be in earthen vessels, and I will direct your paths, and that financial restraint is lifted, and you will see the glory and the anointing, that the worth of your spirit and the Holy Ghost upon you is very valuable. Seek my face. Know the power of the Holy Ghost, for you will prosper in it. And all those around you will know the Lord has done a new thing. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.